It's Mark Yeagy here, wealth architect and lifestyle investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast. Hey there, Mark Yeagy here, and I just got back from a 6-month long trip around the world. And I'm making this video because I've had a few people ask me to do it, so I figured I'd throw it up here for you and you could take what you want from it. But what I learned is, first of all, I went to 11 countries and I probably over 31,000 miles, I figured kind of loosely. I've been to 71 countries now, and now two new continents. So I've been to 6 of the 7 continents. The only thing left is Africa for me and all the states except for, I think, Oklahoma. I wanted to give you some musings. So, this might be interesting or not, but I get a lot of people that say, I would love to do what you're doing. I think it sounds good for a lot of people, but I think if you really think about it, it's not for a lot of people. And so I want you to be really like, if you think it sounds good, great, that's a cool thing to say. But if you really are being serious about it, I'll tell you the realistic parts of it. And I'm gonna tell you toward the end, like some of the things that I've learned and some of the ways that I've been able to empower myself to be able to do it, if you wanna learn from that. So first of all, it's not for everybody. So I traveled around the world, essentially, right? From Florida, all the way around the world through Europe and Australia and the Middle East and all the way back to South America and back to the US over a 6-month period. And in that 6-month period, I had 2 backpacks, a 20 liter and a 40 liter. Like, they're not very big, right? And I had my podcasting equipment in there, my microphones and things like that took up some of it. But essentially I had 5 t-shirts, a couple of polos, 3 pairs of shorts, 5 underwear, and a couple of button downs, right? Nicer shirts. And my shaving kit and a few other things. But you can't really carry around a lot of things. It doesn't leave a lot of room for a big wardrobe or a lot of shoes or a lot of things that you would have when you're at home, right? You have your basics. And over the last few years, I've gotten pretty good at it. And I'm good with it, by the way. I'm good with wearing these same things. In fact, this is one of the shirts. You have every few days, you have to go to the sink and do some laundry. You go, if you're, depending on what country you're in, you go and you have somebody do your laundry for you. Or you can, I never did my own laundry at a laundromat, but I'm happy to wash a couple of shirts and hang them out to dry. Really no big deal, right? And I really enjoy coming home and using a washing machine, I have to tell you. That's kind of cool. Nothing that would say, that's gonna keep me home. So if that sounds good to you, then great. The rest of it is all bonus. So for me, you're moving around. I've been in 75 plus beds this year, right? Been a lot of beds. You may not like that. You may say, well, I have to have my bed. I have to have my pillow. Well, that's a problem. If you have that as a rule, then you're gonna have a lot of trouble living this kind of a lifestyle. I got to go to a lot of different countries and meet a lot of really cool people. Most of them I probably will never see again. Some I may. Some I heard great stories. Some I learned a lot of things from. Some I saw that I didn't want to be like them. If you know me, you know that I'm half Greek and I go to Greece once or twice a year. And I ride a motorcycle around, and that's what I did this year. I got a new motorcycle and cruised around a lot of the places in Greece and just really loved it. And I love the food. If you know Greek food, Mediterranean food, it's amazing. If you know Greek people, they're great. And if you know the place, it's just gorgeous. They got some of the most amount of coastline of any country in the world, and it's beautiful coastline. So I'm very fortunate that I get to go there every year. And then, of course, when you travel, you compare. You compare what it's like at home, you compare what it's like in this country. I went to Cyprus after that. It's pretty similar to Greece. And then from there, I went to Dubai. And I was blown away by Dubai in a lot of ways. I was blown away by the modernity of this culture. Dubai is one of 6 or 7 emirates in an area known as the United Arab Emirates, which are these tribes. And they got together and they said, let's kind of do business with each other, protect each other. And Dubai was one of those areas where the tribe decided to build this big, incredible thing. And in just a few short years, like maybe 50 years, not even, they took this thing from a little desert town into this massive financial center. And they, if you've seen it, they're actually dredging out, or they've done this in the past, they've dredged out islands and they've put them in the shape of palm fronds so that from space, it looks like a couple of palm trees. They got houses and hotels and amazing things. And they got the Burj Khalifa, which is the tallest building in the world. And that's all fine. And it was amazing. And it was all orderly and they had great public transportation, etc. So really well done on the physical stuff. But on a cultural perspective, as an American, I was kind of blown away because we're kind of given a lot of propaganda about the way things are in, Islamic countries. And I was amazed that it's just as Western as most of the other places that I've been to in America. Actually, in fact, more. So you would see a woman in a burqa walking next to a woman with a, a mini skirt, probably not together, but, you know, not thinking either way of each other and respecting each other's views. Everybody getting along. I didn't find their cuisine to be particularly enticing. It was kind of a lot of melting of different cuisines from the East. But it was interesting, it was good. Everybody got along, and there's no crime. There's not a lot of homeless, at least the visible crime that, you know, that we're used to hearing about and seeing. And that's because at the top, first of all, you don't question the government. Okay, you know, we don't really like that as Americans, where you're not allowed to question the government. That's weird to us, you know, with our freedom of speech, we think. But at the same time, would you give some of that up to be able to have some of the lifestyle that they have? Because they tell you, you know, leave your wallet in the middle of a coffee table and you can come back 3 hours later and it's still there with all the cash. I don't know if you could say the same thing about Chicago. I don't know if you could say the same thing about San Francisco, right? In fact, I'm pretty sure you can't say the same thing. And if you did, you'd be lying, right? But I thought that was interesting. I'm not saying that's the choice that I would make, but that's what traveling gives me, is it gives me perspective to go, wow, maybe we don't have all the answers. I mean, it's cool here in the US, but maybe we don't have all the answers. So I found that pretty fascinating. Plus, it's amazingly sprawling and amazingly modern. I went to Thailand, and Thailand's a whole different vibe, right? Things are about a third of the price. Dubai is about the same price as we would be used to paying here in the West. But in Thailand, things are about a third of the price. You can eat a nice meal at dinner, $5, $6. You get a massage for 10 bucks for an hour. You can get a nice custom-made shirt for 30 bucks. And the people are sweet and positive, and the place is gorgeous. And it's warm, if you like warm weather. It's a bit on the warm side. You know, I just really enjoy Thailand. So to me, that's a, you know, I've been there multiple times and I love it. And I love a lot of the things about it. And certainly love the cuisine. So I really groove on Thai food, so that helps a lot. Then I went to the Philippines. Sweetest people, they speak a lot of English there. They have lots of islands, fairly inaccessible and not popular islands and easy to get to, but that's what I've heard about the Philippines, and it was true. And didn't really have much of their own cuisine that I could, you know, that could say, well, what do you eat here? And I didn't really get exciting choices, but it was a beautiful country to see, and the people were just really awesome. And then I went to a new continent for me, which I've always wanted to go to Australia, and I've always wanted to dive the Barrier Reef, so I get to check off those bucket list items. And Australia was beautiful. I found Sydney to be a beautiful little big town, right? It was a city, but it was a small feeling city. Very clean, efficient, nice. The people were sweet, and there's a young vibe, and there's a lot of stuff to do and see there. So I really enjoyed Sydney, and then I went north to Cairns to get up in the mountains and the rainforests and do the dive, and just loved it up there. Just gorgeous up north. And, you know, it's a whole country and continent, so you can't really see it all in one visit. So I got to see Sydney and Cairns, and then Brisbane. And then I left there and went to New Zealand. Now, in New Zealand, I went to just the Northern Island. It's made up of two islands. And I went to the Northern Island, and that's where Auckland, the capital, is. And I flew in there, and I rented a motorcycle for a week, and I went all around the Northern Island. And it was just beautiful. Hilly and green, it was their summer. And one of my favorite stories is that I stayed with a family doing a farm stay. And it wasn't really a family, it was, but it was an 85-year-old couple. Sweetest couple ever. And they had another family that came, and they were staying as well. And the guy, I woke up the next morning, we had breakfast, and he goes, hey, let's go take a tour. 85-year-old guy with the suspenders, you know, really cute. And I'm like, sure. So he gets me on his four-wheeler, and all of his dogs jump on. He's got like four dogs that jump on. And we go start driving through his property. And it's 1 mile and 2 miles and 3 miles or kilometers or whatever. Anyway, this guy had thousands of acres that he got from his grandfather and his father. And then he was annexing it by buying the neighbors. And I just, I remember the funny story. I started talking to him about Bitcoin because he heard me talking about it. And so he said, well, tell me about this. And so I started educating him about it. And after about a half an hour, he kind of looks at me after asking some great questions, smart guy. And he goes, you know what? And he looked around his property. He goes, this is my Bitcoin. I go, yes, it is. You know, you don't always need to buy the technology. you know, you invested in yourself and you've built all this, and he's got cows and goats and sheep and turnips, and he's got a dairy operation with these incredible vats that would put to shame some of these breweries that we go to with these stainless steel cooling vats. And it was really amazing. Lovely people. I was going to stay there one day. I ended up staying two, and really bonded and had a great time with them. So I left New Zealand and I went to Argentina. Long flight across the pond and landed, you know, first in Chile, then Argentina, Buenos Aires. And the cuisine was amazing because they, you know, they like beef and I like beef as well. And Malbec, they're big on their Malbec wines and a few other types of wines. Really good stuff. So they're, you know, if you like cuisine, Australia and New Zealand didn't really have much of their cuisine, a lot of burgers and hamburgers and, you know, beers and pizzas and things like that. But Argentina kind of has its own kind of thing. There's still a melting pot going on there too. And I went there because a friend of mine, Nick Spohn, said, hey, let's go there because they have really high inflation. Now we're both kind of economics geeks. And last year we went to Turkey and experienced some of that high inflation and rode motorcycles in Greece. And then this year we were supposed to go to Argentina. He wasn't able to make the trip. But it was amazing because what I noticed was that they have a three-tiered system of money. And so if you go to the bank and you take a dollar, you get 367 pesos, I think is the official daily rate of the bank, right? It all changes every day. So 360 pesos. But if you go and spend your money somewhere, you get about a value of about 800 pesos. But if you go to the black market, which is called the blue dollar market, they'll give you like 1,000 or 1,100 pesos depending on the day. So you get about three times the official rate by having dollars because they want dollars so bad. So what does that tell you? It tells you a couple things. First of all, their corruption blew out their whole economy. So they're a poor country now and they have the most beautiful place. And but they've had a lot of corruption and they just haven't been able to manage their money because they corrupt politicians, right? And they got this new guy named Javier Milei in there who's amazing, he's a libertarian. He's already balanced the budget in his first couple of months in power. And so there's a lot of reforms coming in Argentina, and I think I'm really hopeful as long as they can keep this going. They're just tired of what they've been going through for years and years and years, basically since the Perones back in the 50s. Argentina was really interesting, and then I just happened to randomly go on a cruise and ended up in Antarctica. And I didn't wake up this year thinking I was gonna be in Antarctica, but that's the way it worked out. And it was lovely, it was just amazing, right? And it was like, pristine, and we happen to have one of these 1 in 1,000 days, which is flat seas, sun. It was 0 degrees, which is rare. It's nice and warm for Antarctica. We didn't get off the ship, but we spent a couple of days just kind of going through the channels and hearing the stories about the people that had traveled there, you know, 100 years ago, 50 years ago, whatever. These guys are all brave with balls, like to do the kind of, like, I wouldn't do it today if I weren't on a cruise ship. And these guys didn't have half the tools that we had, but they had a lot of spunk and a lot of, you know, chutzpah to be able to do this. So I was really amazed, and it was a beautiful place. Penguins swimming by our boat and seals and sea lions, and it was really quite amazing. And then, you know, that kind of wrapped it up, and then I came home. And the funny, I'll leave you with this story, I guess, and then maybe I'll sum up some things here. But, you know, when I got off the plane after traveling for, you know, 13, 14 hours, I get off and I go 10 minutes in a taxi cab and it's $55, right? I had gone a half an hour in a taxi cab in Thailand for, you know, $10. I had gone, you know, 20 minutes in a taxi cab in Argentina and it was, you know, $18. And I come home and this little 10 minutes space, it's $55. Plus another 40 for the train, plus another $55 for another Uber on the end of that trip. So I spent $150 in ground transportation after I landed, after a $500 trip across a couple of continents and a couple of oceans. So it just shows you a couple things. Number one, the dollar is still the best game in town. Now, I don't know how much longer it's gonna last because we're having a lot of problems with the dollar. We have the dollar, but the dollar's in trouble. Still, the world wants dollars for now. Number two, if you make your money in the West, you know, if you get paid in dollars, it stretches very far when you travel. So if that's compelling for you, then that should be part of what, you know, what you do. It doesn't cost that much to travel the world. And I'll be honest with you, I could actually sit here and say, you know, I traveled first class. You know, I could have done that if I wanted, but that's not my bag. I've had all the stuff. For me, it's not the stuff, it's the experiences. And so to be able to travel around the world, you know, really didn't cost that much. I think I figured out it's about $150 a day, food and lodging, not counting the airline tickets, which probably cost me, I don't know, $6,000-$7,000, something like that. So, you know, things are possible if you want to do it, but I will go back and say, and if you watch my videos, you know what I say, life is a choice. And I made this choice, and it's not an easy choice to make, right? It was easier for me, I don't have kids. If you've got a job, if you've got kids, if you've got parents that you're taking care of, if you've got pets, if you have a job that you have to physically appear at, if you don't like to sleep in new beds, if you have to have your curling iron and your blow dryer and those kinds of things, and you can't travel lightly, this becomes less of an appealing lifestyle. But it all goes down to the choice that you make. Look at your life and decide what you want your life to be about. For me, what I did is I looked at my life and I said, I want to circle it around these freedoms, right? So I have five freedoms that I always talk about: time freedom, relationship freedom, you know, people freedom, location freedom, and purpose freedom. And one of the reasons I make this video is to maybe inspire one other person to do this, or to learn a tip, or to see that something's possible. And that's part of my purpose. Whatever it is for you, it's for you. And you may not want this lifestyle, but if you do, it's a choice. This is what I'm getting at, finally. A long way around it, but it's a choice. And a few years ago, I realized that, you know, I had the houses on the water, and I had the BMWs, and I had all the stuff. And I was like, okay, that's not really what is making me happy. What it really makes me happy is meeting people and experiencing things and learning and culture and food and travel and experience and adventures. And I made choices back then to redesign my life. So that's my point here, is if you want to do something in your life, you've got to make that choice. And what happens when you make that choice, you have to clear away all of the other potential choices. You have to be clear on your choice, but then you have to clear away all the things that are not that choice. And that's difficult. You have to clear out people that are not on that path. You have to clear out things that are not on that path. You got too much stuff, too much payments, and you know, those other things. You've got to make choices to get away from that. And these are hard choices because we've been programmed, and we've also programmed ourselves, we have to take responsibility, to consume or to live a life, you know, that we're supposed to live, or admire other people's lives the way they live them. And it's really hard to unmake that choice and undo those programs that are in there. So, you know, what I'm saying is sit down and think about it. I mean, I talk about a lot about goal setting and time management and planning and things like that. And part of the planning is really deciding what you want. And a lot of people know what they don't want. That's great. But what is it that you want? And then once you decide on that and you're serious about it, what would it take? What's the action plan? What do you have to do to, you know, get down that channel? And what do you have to clear away to get on that channel? So thank you for sitting with this little summary of my last 6-month trip around the world. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of learning. It was a lot of realizations, a lot of alone time, which I enjoy. I would like to have other people travel with me, but it's not possible for everybody, right? You'll realize this. If you live this lifestyle, you'll realize not everybody wants to do this or can do this, or maybe they can only do a couple of weeks. Life is a choice. Make the choice and clear away all the other non-choices, and maybe you'll have a path to happiness.
You've been listening to the Wealth Architect Podcast with Mark Yeagy. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.